The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't think you guys can appreciate or even comprehend the task that Malik Willis, I mean, this guy got here 3 weeks ago.
Thought he ran for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. It is still there to Wicks, and a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike and a touchdown.
There was a lot put on his plate, and for him to be able to go out there and do what he did today, I think that speaks volumes of who he is as a person and the work that he's put in.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You just got to find a way to win, because at the end of the day, nobody cares.
He's got it. He's got room. Josh Jacobs gallops three. Biggest run in his short tenure with the Packers. Jacobs.
I don't think of it. I mean, it's either win or lose, and y'all going to write about that either way. You know, you can say what you want to. All you can do is control the flow of the game. The flow of the game said we're running the ball today.
Rookie knocks this one through. 5 out of 6 to begin his NFL career. 13-0.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And we're not here to throw those terms around. We're here to win games and do what we can to lean on each other. And that's all it is.
And it's just, this game is about winning, and you got to do it. However, you got to find a way, and our guys found a way today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I don't think we can state it enough. I don't think we can overstate how impressive yesterday's victory was. We have said for years and years and years, increasingly so, guys, how important the quarterback position is. We knew the Green Bay Packers were going into this game without their starting quarterback, without their one of the highest paid players in the league in Jordan Love. And we knew that the book on Malik Willis was not great. Again, every person who weighed in on what do we need to know about Malik Willis, what do we need to know, talked about what a great kid he is. Nice guy, good guy, well-mannered, polite.
There's a great story that Diana had in her story about when she was working with ESPN, went to Tennessee for a story, and he like shook the hand of everyone in the crew, introduced himself, which is rare. You know, just a very genuinely nice person.
So we're rooting for him, right? If for no other reason than he is the now starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers until Jordan Love gets back. But there was pessimism about his ability to get the job done. And he got the job done. Now, again, we can use my children cleaning the baseboards as we're preparing for the giant party analogy if we want. You can use Chewy's analogy of he can drive 25. He's going to have to, you know, crank it up a little on the highway. Can't drive 25 on the highway. Gabe, do you feel badly about how pessimistic you were about the Green Bay Packers' chances headed into yesterday's game?
All right. I have prepared an official statement because there have been plenty of people who have, you know, come after me at Twitter. We had the caller who wanted to give me, as he said, give me the business because of how pessimistic I was, whether that was on this show, whether that was on Green Bay game day yesterday. So I have prepared an official statement. Max, if you will, please.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
All right. As long as you're willing to admit that.
We'll be taking no further questions at this time.
That's your statement?
That's my statement. I let my statement stand on its own.
Happy Gilmore just did your statement for you. Although, to be perfectly honest with you, that really is the perfect apology. Like, 10 out of 10, no notes. Why would we try to reinvent the wheel, right? It's the greatest apology in the history of apologies, and therefore, Gabe, I am fine with you using it as your apology.
That was addressed to anybody, again, who wanted to tweet at me, the caller who called, you know, anybody else who wants to call in, that is, you know, I just direct you to that statement.
Why? What did you think they were going to lose by?
14. I had 24-10.
Okay. All right.
It was the final.
I don't think you were alone.
No, I wasn't. Oh, I saw, you know, plenty of people on the pregame show. Yeah. Everybody seemed to be picking the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what I want to say. We are thrilled that the Packers got the victory. We are thrilled that Malik Willis was able to go 12 of 14 for 120 plus yards, etc. Does that mean he's good at football? does that mean he's a good quarterback? Like, again, I don't want to take anything away from the kid, right? This is not, you know, sit here and you know, rake him over the coals. But for the people out there who were, like, dancing on the criticism of struggles with football yesterday after the game, I'm not sure you saw enough in the game to say, he's got it. He can do it.
I don't know if he's got it, but I will bring back... Jason has been harping on this all week about how a lot of times, and I think Chewy, you're an example, he likes to use the example of Tausch because they do the show together, about how a lot of times in the NFL, football players can be the product of their environment and the product of circumstance. And the initial plan for the Titans was clearly to develop him. And he's never had that opportunity, even with the Packers, who went, okay, we're going to take you and we're going to develop you. Didn't have the opportunity to sit and develop because he was thrown into the fire 19 days after the Packers acquired him. But he did land in a spot with the Packers, with Matt LaFleur, who was able to go, all right, we're not going to ask you to do anything you can't handle. And that's what Tennessee tried to do with him. He only attempted 10 passes in the one game the Titans won that he started when he was a rookie. We're not going to throw anything at you right now that you can't handle. We're going to try to support you the best that we can. And Malik Willis looked the best that he did, I think, because of Matt LaFleur, the coaching staff, and what they understood, what they can and cannot ask of this guy right now, and to develop a little more confidence, that's only going to help him going forward.
Like, I understand why they made the move, the trade for the seventh round pick. I mean, he's not there yet, and he's not going to be a starter in this league, I don't think, but he can be a functional backup. And I think that's why they went out and got him. They got their backup for the next X amount of years behind Jordan Love, which is fine. But like I said, he can go 25. He's going to have to go 45 this week. He's going to have to. And this will be a bigger test.
But here's the thing, Chu, though. We always talk about, all right, do you have a backup quarterback who can go 500? If Jordan just misses two games and he's backed by Minnesota, and would it be disappointing if they, you know, because I thought if they went 500, it would be lose to Indy, beat Tennessee because of how Tennessee has looked. But if they end up just inversing that and they go 1-1 and they're 1-2 going into Minnesota and Jordan's back, I think we feel all right, don't we?
Yeah, but I also think that if you gave Sean Clifford the same assignment, it would have been the same.
Let me ask you this, Chu.
It would have been the same.
What does 45 look like? Like, give me it in football terms. We saw what 25 miles per hour in football terms looks like. 12 of 14. Mm-hmm. What was the official number? 126, 124? What was the?
122. 12 of 14.
What would it have been if you took away the long play? 90.
So that was the long play was 39 yards.
All right.
So what does 45 look like then?
45 is you're going to have to throw intermediate routes. You're going to have to throw a dig to the outside. You're going to have to throw, you know, a 10-yard out rollover. It's got to be good because I know how I would defend them.
How?
I would play predominantly man. I would make sure the box is secure. To me, from what I did watch, Indianapolis seemed pretty uninspired. Didn't you think so?
Yeah.
Offensively and defense, there was no...
Except for Jonathan Taylor.
There was no sense of urgency.
They had a lot of drops, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have to throw intermediate routes. He's going to have to deal with, which he did in this game, 3rd and 8. I mean, their conversion rate, that's one of the first things we look at.
Conversion
when we come in on 10 of 17, which is solid. You always want to be, we always shot for 40. 40 is like, all right, you got to have 40. You feel pretty good that you're going to win. He's going to have to make some throws. I'll be shocked this week if they rush for more than 150 yards. I'll be shocked.
Because
so
your
he's
expectation
gonna have,
is the Titans will take that element.
Yeah.
Away.
You just, unless you're complete idiots. Unless you're dopes. So he's going to have to throw for 180. It's not a lot more, but he's going to have to throw more than checkdowns. They're going to have to be more than in the flat to the tight end for 4, hopefully get 8. You know? That's how I see it.
And he still has to take care of the football.
Because I can tell you this, the Jets are a better offense than Indy. They're a better offense, maybe not rushing, but they're a better offense. And they had a tough time. They had a tough time yesterday. So yeah, this is going to be a bigger test. I look at it more as the kind of a letdown.
How much of a difference is being able to execute this game plan at home in Lambeau Field versus executing this game plan on the road at Tennessee?
Huge. Because the crowd is going to have more juice because a guy that didn't pan out as a third-round pick was supposed to be a higher pick is now playing for a good team. So it's going to be different. It's not going to be as comfortable. In my guess, Nashville could be, and it was for yesterday's game, very hot. So it's going to be hot down there.
It was hot yesterday at Lambeau.
Yeah.
85 degrees yesterday in Green Bay.
But another crappy team. Right? I'd probably put them where the Colts are. Colts might be all around a little bit better, but you're playing at home. The letdown is more what I'm... It's hot. We're on the road. Not as comfortable. They're yelling at my quarterback. We'll just see how they respond.
Well, and sometimes we talk about how guys use slights as motivation. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that Malik Willis is over here scouring Twitter or looking for what people are saying about him headed into the games. But you can only insulate yourself so much. So let's say he heard that people were saying, can't get it done. Mm-hmm. Guy doesn't have it. You use that as motivation to be like, all right, let's see. I'll go out there. Does he have it to the same level next week after proving some people wrong with his 12 of 14, 122 day?
But they have the slight as well. Tennessee. Dude, we drafted you high and you sucked. We ain't letting you play well against us here. We just traded you because we thought you were garbage. So here we go.
Well, and I have a stat here for you. Titans beat themselves in Chicago on three key plays, a blocked punt, an interception, and a lost fumble. Then they went out and did it again yesterday. Yeah. Per ESPN stats and information, the Titans became the first team to allow a blocked punt, throw an interception, and lose a fumble since the Chargers did it. They did it twice in a row.
Yeah, back-to-back games.
Back-to-back weeks.
From a score standpoint?
Yikes!
From a score standpoint, it's going to be the exact same. Hopefully I can nail it this time.
It
doesn't matter if you nail it. You're going to say you're right.
I was going to say, you acted like you nailed it this morning.
Was I close to nailing the game? 17-14, 16-10 is not a big difference.
What about
in NFL?
The overtime
element. You had the exact idea of how the game was going to go.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, but the problem is...
Why do you guys fight it so hard?
Well, because you start to feel yourself a little too much. You're like, oh, but in overtime.
But then you go to Max, and he's so intimidated by you. He's going to say whatever the hell you tell him to say. You could tell him the sky is turquoise. He'd be like, sure
Max,
is.
Don't listen to him. Do not let them poison you. I am the nicest guy in this room. The hardest worker. The show prep that I put in all of yesterday and this morning for this show is incredible, off the charts. Matt LaFleur's got nothing on me.
Max is like, you're right. 100%. He's about to hit the Chewy was right drop, actually. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity. Every bite is a work of art. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN. You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah,
you can't
some
eat
sort
the
bread
of alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Willis' first downfield shot for Romeo Dobbs. Went over the top and hauled it in. 40 yards.
Huge win by the GBP on Sunday over the Colts. And I will admit, I was way wrong on my best bet for weekly wager because I took the over on the Colts scoring 2.5 times. I thought they'd find the end zone three times. I thought with Anthony Richardson having, the big arm that we saw from him in week one, obviously Jonathan Taylor and the run defense for the Green Bay Packers, I thought the game plan would be run, take some shots downfield and thought they would find the end zone. I am thrilled to have been wrong, right? This is one of those where you hedge your bet, you hedge your hope with a bet. If the Packers lose, well, at least I won some money. but I didn't win any money, but the Packers won. So I'm good on that.
Wait, so how did your week go? Because last week you were week one of the NFL season. You were 4-2.
Yeah, that was good. So I lost that bet. I lost that bet. I made that bet. I lost that one. And then I lost I thought that the Browns were just a dumpster fire. So I went heavy Jacksonville.
I mean, they still might be. Jacksonville might be a bigger one.
But they won. So I lost on that one. And then I lost on Georgia, Kentucky. I took the over. I should have listened to Ben Brust on that one. He says he always takes the unders on that.
I mean, you don't need to listen to Ben.
Okay.
I mean, I did just in general. I don't know if
that's
something you wanna...
see the Georgia, Kentucky game going the way that it went?
No.
So I felt okay. I was like, well, at least I don't feel like a total idiot. No one saw Georgia and Kentucky. What was the final score of that one?
Like 13-9?
Yeah, insane. It was
like, why didn't you hit the under in Green Bay Indy? That seemed like a layup. 41? Like, what's it? Is the bet out this week already? If it's anywhere around 41 again for this week, jump on the under.
Yeah.
The total right now for Packers Titans is 37.5.
I'd still maybe hit the under.
Dude, maybe. Now we're not jumping on the under. Yeah. Now we're just creeping.
Those extra 4 points.
I mean, I'd hit it if you win. I'm going to deny it.
Right, exactly. But I do want to tell you this. I did win some bets as well.
Okay.
I took South Carolina. The spread was 7.
Yep.
They ended up losing, but just by 3 to LSU.
Yeah.
That was the game that we were at this weekend. And I also told you guys Boston College.
Yeah, I chickened out. Yeah, I chickened out. Because the Spaniard went to Mizzou.
So you didn't want to make a bet with...
I make the bet, but I said I want Mizzou. I have no loyalty to Boston
Mizzou
College.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the odds were on that.
You hit Alabama-Wisconsin?
Couldn't bet on that.
Oh, that's
can't
right.
Can't bet on
the local teams at Potawatomi.
Wisconsin is a Tier 2 Big Ten school. They're a Tier 2.
We sure?
Well, you think they might be a 3? You're putting them with Purdue, Indiana,
Northwestern.
So if
Northwestern,
if Ohio State is like up there, right? Ohio State, because they're one of the best teams in the country.
And then I would say Penn State's probably
Penn
next.
State's really good. Penn State's good. Oregon's good.
USC
is Oregon USC? Good? They have really been clunky.
I think they righted the ship this last week. They scored 49 points, like one in a blowout. Like Dylan Gabriel looked really good. So, but I mean, I think there are four teams in the upper tier there.
Yeah,
and then. I mean, Michigan's not going to be in the college.
Tier.
Yeah, they're like second tier.
Which is understandable because it's a new head coach.
New head coach, lost your quarterback, lost a lot of players to the NFL, et cetera, et cetera.
Michigan,
they're not on Michigan's level.
If Michigan and Wisconsin played right now, what would the score be? Oh, I thought you were going to say 100.
13-9?
Really? You think it's that close?
I think both offenses stink.
Well, the problem is Wisconsin doesn't have an identity. They don't know what they want to do. And Fickell said as much after the game. They don't have an identity. And that's what I saw.
They don't have a quarterback.
Well, from everything I saw on social media from alumni, it seems that's the most frustrating part from players who used to be in that program, is we don't know what we are.
It's because this Air Raid is such a stupid offense. Hey, I'll just tell you this. You guys might know this. If you don't have the receivers, you can't run an Air Raid offense. I'm sorry. You have to run the ball. In college football, you have to run the ball. And it blows my mind. You have every big, huge old lineman here. You got almost your pick. Run a pro-style offense with these massive offensive linemen that they're getting around the state. I can tell you this. There's not a lot of five-star receivers in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, but all these massive offensive linemen are leaving the state.
I know they are.
I mean,
I think
we have the games for Catholic Memorial every Friday night here on 94.5 ESPN. They had a kid last year, one of the best offensive linemen in the state, went to Penn State.
Yeah, I know.
One of the top recruits as a left tackle going to Notre Dame this year after he graduates he's a senior this year. He's going to go to Notre Dame next year.
I know. Is that NIL or is that?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Seems like it's reverting back. You know what? I'm blown away. They still haven't made the college football playoffs since they've been in existence.
Yeah, I mean, they got close the 1 year. They're 12-0 going to the Big Ten championship game. Played Ohio State tight, lost. Certainly would have been if it was a 12-team that year. But yeah, I don't know the next time they sniff at you.
What do you think, Fickell? What do you think they go this year? How many wins? with a backup quarterback.
Six or seven.
Does that put him on the hot seat?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think they believe it's going to take some time. Isn't next year his recruiting class?
Sure, but like, this, how much does that matter?
Every year's the recruiting class, like, with the NIL transfer and, portal. Yeah.
5 years ago, Jen? Sure. Now?
Doesn't matter. There's some college programs, Jen, don't even recruit high school kids.
They're just using the transfer
in the portal.
Yeah.
Let somebody else develop them.
Just so you guys know, as riveting as this has been, Andrew in the 262 would rather us talk about vomit again. Okay. Says that's a better conversation than about the Badgers. We got to take a break.
What was your final record? What was your record betting this week?
Let me total it up. I'll tell you when we come back. We got Rob Domofsky waiting patiently on the line. We certainly want to get to him. I will tell you when we come back what my final record was. Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. Wisconsin.
For this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Touch base with Rob Domofsky about the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today on this Victory Monday?
I am great, Jen. I have no vomit on me. I feel really good.
It's crazy that that is the baseline all of a sudden. Like, do you have vomit on you? No, I do not. So what was your biggest takeaway? We were asking folks this morning who they learned the most about in that game. Was it Malik Willis? Was it Matt LaFleur? Was it the offensive line? Was it Josh Jacobs? Maybe it's someone else for you. Who did you learn the most about in the Packers' win over the Colts?
I think I saw the poll, and I think it's Matt LaFleur, because this is something that he has never successfully done before. Here, now, he only had to do it once, but that was win without his regular starting quarterback. And obviously in Kansas City a couple of years ago with Jordan filling in, it did not go well at all. I thought they managed the game incredibly well. I know the crowd was booing at the end of the first half, but he did the right thing there, in my opinion, of what were they were leading the game. Don't make a mistake at the end when momentum could flip. The Titans were going to get the ball back, right? Or sorry, the Colts were going to get the ball back. I'm already thinking about next week. Colts were going to get the ball back to start the second half. If you screw it up there in the final minute and somehow they score off a turnover and they double up, all of a sudden it's a different game. So I really thought he coached sort of a brilliant game. Like, it was almost the equivalent. I hate to do this, but you guys know how much I like basketball. I compare everything to basketball. It was almost like a Dick Bennett, Pete Carrill, Princeton type of game plan, where you just slowed it down and stuck to one thing and did it well, which is great because it was one of the fastest games I think I've ever been around with all the running. I think I looked up at the end of the third quarter, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Rob, 1 sack and 7.8 yards per carry. Is there concern about the front seven?
I don't know if it's concern, Chewy. I do think it's a work in progress. You know, we talked all along about how, you know, this defense is sort of built from the back up with Jeff Hafley being, you know, looking at it through a DB's perspective. And I think the back end has played pretty well. I think that we've maybe, and I'm probably guilty of it too, but oversimplified, bless you, Jen. That was great.
Just don't barf.
I was trying to be quiet, draw no attention to it, and he says, God bless you.
Well, I mean, this is what happens when you have video, though. Yeah, he can see on the video.
You guys wanted video. I think we oversimplified, Chewy, getting back to the defensive front, about all these defensive linemen, you're just going to flip the switch and you're just going to go, right?
Yeah.
I think that was probably a mistake on our part, because I think that's a pretty big adjustment for those guys. First of all, the edge rushers are now playing with their hand on the ground, mm-hmm. which is totally different. And then the guys in the middle, like Kenny Clark, are still getting used to trying to play downhill more than, say, side to side.
What did you learn about Malik Willis?
The one thing I was surprised at, Gabe, is that he took care of the football. He didn't turn the ball over, right? You could have easily seen, and we have seen, quarterbacks panic when they get flushed a little bit and throw it right to the other team. And we saw Caleb Williams, if you watched any of the Bears game last night, you saw Caleb Williams do it a couple of times. And then just ball security with the fumble, with not losing his grip on the football, running, not being careless with the ball. I thought he played a very safe game and a smart game, which I quite honestly wasn't sure that he or any quarterback put in that situation could pull off.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, as he will each and every Monday during the football season. There has been a lot of talk of Matt LaFleur. You mentioned it as well as we did at the beginning of the show. We have actually talked about Adam Stenovich a little bit, because Matt LaFleur mm-hmm. said that he did a really good job. Where does Tom Clements fall in here as far as helping Malik Willis put his best foot forward in that game?
Yeah, I don't know, Jen, if it's so much that game, because Tom, I think Tom's best attribute is coaching quarterbacks over the long haul development, and Tom's one of the best around. I don't know if anyone, including Tom Clements, who might be one of the best quarterbacks coaches I've ever seen, can have an effect that quickly on a guy's fundamentals. Now, could Tom have helped him with some read stuff and seeing what the Colts defense was doing? Absolutely. But I think Tom Clements' best attribute is his long-term work. And I was told last week leading up to the game that, obviously the Packers never thought that Willis would play so quickly, but that they really wanted a whole year with him to develop him and see where they could get him and where Tom Clements could help him progress. They wanted this to be a redshirt year for him.
Rob, how concerned are you about the Tennessee game? Because I can tell you they're not rushing for 261. And Malik is going to have to do more against a team that knows him very well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. But I think on the flip side, and I haven't seen anything to say who, whether they're making a change at quarterback. But from what I've seen from Will Levis, man, this defense, the Packers defense, which already has 6 takeaways, should probably get 4 or 5 more off Will Levis. Because, mm-hmm. I don't know. The things I've seen that guy try to do it's just I don't know how you can play that way. So I do think the defense, sort of getting back to your point about the front seven, Chewy, I think next week, if Malik Willis does have to play again, and I'm not convinced that he's going to, from what I was told, Jordan Love was very close to playing and that was not a charade. If Malik Willis has to play again, and you're right. I can't imagine that they would be able to put up that kind of rushing numbers a second week in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I think defense is going to have to carry the way next week if they're going to win in Tennessee with Malik Willis. That being said, this is another game where if you have to be without Jordan Love, you'd rather it be this game than, a game against a surefire, playoff contender.
Does Brian Gutekunst deserve a little bit of credit for this? Because I have a hard time imagining that Aaron Jones would have gotten 32 carries had it been Aaron Jones instead of Josh Jacobs in the backfield.
It's funny, Gabe, because as the carries were piling up, I looked up, I knew Aaron Jones had carried 30 times as he was approaching 30. But the amazing thing is, Aaron Jones' high carries was 25 times, and he did it one time. 25 one time. And this, they went out and got a guy who is built for, I don't want to say he's built for, whatever 30 times 17 is over the course of a season, 500 carries or whatever that would be. I'm terrible at math, as we've discussed many times, but I don't think that.
And yet it still keeps coming up.
It does. And I got this thing I got here. I happen to have it right here. This is my diploma from Ohio University. I have no idea why it's sitting on my desk, but it is. No math was required for this degree. not a single math class was taken to acquire this piece of paper.
Good for you.
The only reason I have that there is my parents cleaned out a bunch of stuff and gave it to me the other day.
Oh, but, that's the best when your parents are like, hey, we've had this in the house. You need to take it.
Right. where were we going?
Josh Jacobs versus Aaron Jones.
Yep. American Conference School.
Josh Jacobs versus Aaron Jones.
Yeah. No, I think Gutekunst went out and made a bold decision there. And part of that decision was made by him because Aaron Jones wasn't going to take the pay cut. If Josh Jacobs can indeed stay healthy over the course of the season, and the amazing thing was I talked to him in his locker yesterday and he wasn't sweating at all. This was pretty close shortly after the game. He said, he goes, I could probably go another quarter. So this guy is built differently. And it's, I think you make a great point there, Gabe, is that just having Josh Jacobs allowed them to win that game. If they don't have him, I don't know that they win it.
Random but related, which sort of is my MO. I was sitting with Nick Saban in the makeup area getting ready for College Game Day Saturday morning, and we were talking about Malachi Moore, a kid on the Alabama team who I know Badgers fans are now very familiar with after Saturday's game. And he said Malachi Moore was the last kid that he recruited of that class. And he said, you know who else was the last kid I recruited of their respective class? Josh Jacobs.
Really?
And he said, I could have never guessed that he was going to have the success he had and then also have the success he has had in the NFL based on the other kids who were in his recruiting class. So go ahead and just remember that. Keep that in mind, Packers fans.
Never know. Yeah, you just never know, Jen.
Last thing I want for you to talk to you about, Rob, is the penalties. At the beginning of the game, it was laundry all over Lambeau Field. Do you chalk that up to no preseason? Guys are still getting used to kind of the rigors of the regular season, or is this something we should keep our eye on with Green Bay for the season?
I'll just say this anecdotally, and I don't have the statistical evidence to support this, but I feel like every time I'm watching games and the Packers aren't playing, there's penalties all over the place. Someone would have to check, and I'm sure there's a way to – There's some great penalty stats websites out there, but it just feels to me like this is football a couple of weeks into the 2024 season. And you would assume, as it does most years, the officiating tends to change as the season goes on. It's whatever the point of emphasis is or the rule changes going into that season are over officiated or over emphasized early in the year. And I think, a month or so in, you get back to regular football. Let's put a bookmark on that question, Jen, and see where the Packers are in a couple of weeks.
I think it was 6 penalties yesterday. I closed the box score, but 6 penalties for 50 yards. The only reason I keep it in mind is last year, as you well know, Rob, the Packers were leading the league in penalties headed into like the final 6 weeks of the season. Yeah. I don't have the full numbers here in front of me, but I just remember that being a storyline of like, hey, you're shooting yourself in the foot, if you will, on a lot of these things. And there were some significant plays that were wiped from the board because of penalties yesterday.
Including a Josh Jones or Josh Jacobs touchdown, right?
Josh Jones.
Would have been, I know,
he's a hybrid. Jacobs. He's a hybrid.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs would have had an 18-yard touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. You're right. It was 6 penalties for 50 yards. The Colts had only 3 penalties for 20 yards.
All right. Well, there you have it. We appreciate you hanging out with us, Rob. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Yeah, I have a feeling I think I'm going to be changing planes in the airport in either Minneapolis or Detroit or wherever I'm flying through this time tomorrow or this time next Monday, so hopefully the plane is on time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're rooting for you, bud.
Rob Demosky.
I am scheduled to land at 8:15 Central Time in whatever city that I'm landing in, so hopefully we
Rob has somewhere. Travel plans like I have travel plans. Then I got to go to Oklahoma, and then I got to go to Oklahoma again. Rob Demofsky, you can, of course, follow him on X at Rob Demofsky. Thanks, Rob. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. We'll be seeing you.
Read him on ESPN.com as well. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap things up right after this.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Gabe, asked what my record was for my betting at Pottawatomie Sportsbook this weekend. 2-3. 4-2 week
All right,
one.
You know what? That's fine.
3 weeks.
6-5 overall. You're above 500.
I know, but I got to nail it this week, Gabe. That's what that means. I got to stay above 500.
Yeah. So you're staying positive.
I'll start digging. Again, what I'm thrilled about is that I won on the two college games I picked. Well, I picked three college games.
Okay.
I picked the over Georgia, Kentucky. I was way off on that one. I did not see Georgia. By the way, Georgia falling out of the top spot in the AP.
Texas looks good.
After Texas lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah. But you saw Arch Manning.
I did.
He looked very good.
Turns out he's a Manning and he can run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are they going to now? That is that a controversy? Or are they going to go back to?
My guess is it's how long Quinn Ewers is out for.
Yeah,
like if he misses four games and they win all of them, they probably keep riding with Arch. But if Ewers is ready for the Oklahoma game in 2 weeks, then they go back to Quinn.
What's something crazy like he threw two passes for two touchdowns or something insane like that?
Well,
like,
he threw one pass for a touchdown, yeah. And then he had the 67-yard touchdown run, yeah. Like back-to-back plays. Yeah. Pretty outrageous.
So it was like, oh, I guess he really is good, huh? What did we put on the poll today? Let me check on the ESPN Milwaukee Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Looks like lots of reaction rolling in, for whatever it's worth. The poll was, who did you learn the most about in the Packers' victory over the Colts? Matt LaFleur running away with this sucker, 50% of the vote, followed by Josh Jacobs with 21, the offensive line with 20, and Malik Willis with 9. And I do think, guys, that there is something to be said for that. 9% going to Malik Willis, because you didn't learn a lot more about Malik Willis than you knew going in. It's not like he blew you away with a bunch of downfield completions. It's not like he ran a ton. You know, like, he is what we thought he was, but he did not lose the game. We want to make sure we give him credit for that.
So we looked at that ranking. I don't know. It was in the text chain of they ranked the 32 quarterbacks starting.
Oh, sure.
This past week.
And he was
and
number
he was 32.
32.
You think he moves up?
Oh, yeah. He'll move up.
Over Levis?
He'll probably be above Levis.
What about Trevor Lawrence?
No, Trevor's not going to drop down that far.
All right, because now you got Miami's going to be starting a new, whoever their backup is. I'll be interested to see where he's at.
Yeah, Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
They said they're going with him. They're not going to go out and try to get somebody, they said. They said they're going to ride
with
him.
Really? Okay.
Why, you think Tannehill's going to get a job at some point here?
No. No. No one's going to pay him, except Gabe.
Gabe won't even pay him a compliment.
Gabe won't even say his name.
Voldemort?
Will Dean Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody. Enjoy the victory today.